WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Life. I'm Julie Glenn. Restaurants can now open in Florida, but only at 25% capacity in their dining rooms and with social distancing at outdoor tables. But is that number of customers an economically viable option for restaurants? We're talking with Dr. Michael Collins with the Florida Gulf Coast University School of Resort and Hospitality Management, which is within the Luttgert College of Business. He has 35 years of hospitality, teaching, and research experience and earned a PhD in hospitality management from Ohio State University. Dr. Collins, it's great to talk with you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
To engage with us and your fellow listeners about this conversation or any of our shows, you can find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or on Twitter. We're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. The stay-at-home orders have affected almost every aspect of American life. But in a battle of one-upmanship for who's been hit the hardest, the restaurant and hotel industry has really taken it on the chin. In the state of Florida, tourism is one of the biggest economic drivers, and in Southwest Florida is no exception. With its abbreviated season and the painful timing of the COVID shutdowns, the understatement of the century to date could be it's been tough. Dr. Collins, in your experience, studying and researching restaurant and hospitality management, is anything like this ever even considered when talking with people about getting into the business? Do they even think worst case scenario that the government's going to shut down restaurants for public safety?
Absolutely not. This situation is certainly unprecedented. I've been working in the hospitality industry since I was a freshman in college. Started as a bellman when I was 18 years old. And over nearly 40 years associated with this industry, I've never seen anything like this. The Gulf War in the early 90s, many economic recessions, 9/11, multiple events in history have reduced revenues significantly, you know, 20-25% at the most. But we've seen a 75% drop in hotel revenues, and the restaurant industry has been completely shut down. It's certainly unprecedented.
And, you know, some chose to stay open for curbside pickup and delivery. Is that something that is even going to earn a restaurant any kind of money or even keep the doors open for any period of time? I just don't think people understand the cost of doing business for a restaurant, what the margins are, things like that.
Well, different restaurants have different sources of revenue, and for some restaurants, they depend heavily on that drive-through traffic. But that's certainly more the limited service, fast food type of restaurant establishment. Let me kind of go through a typical restaurant scenario and really so our listeners can understand the profitability of restaurants. The typical restaurant in the United States generates about $1.2 million a year in revenue, or about $100,000 a month. The bulk of that revenue goes straight out the door in what we refer to as prime cost. Prime cost is the cost of goods sold, in other words, the cost of the food on the plate, and labor cost. So restaurants have a very heavy variable cost right off the top that is nearly 60% of the revenue. So if you take in $100,000 in a month, you're going to pay out nearly $60,000 just in the cost of the food and to pay your staff. Then on top of that, you have about 15 to 20% of your revenue going to cover other expenses, like your paper goods, your, you know, china glass, silver, and other expenses you need just to operate your restaurant. A restaurant earnings before its real estate expenses and overhead expenses of only 12.2% of revenue. So, in other words, a typical restaurant takes in $1.2 million in revenue, but only generates $146,000, just shy of $150,000 in margin, gross margin, operating margin, before paying for real estate and utilities. So we always say in the restaurant business, the best way to make a small fortune in the restaurant business is to start with a large fortune.
I've heard that. I've heard that about the wine business, too.
Yes. And then when you take real estate expenses, real estate and utilities run about 6.2% of revenues, or about $75,000. So you're taking in $1.2 million in revenue, paying out 60 right up front on, or 60% of it on food costs and labor costs, and then you've got about 12% left or $150,000 left at the end of the year, and then you spent half of that, $75,000 of that, on rent and utilities.
Now, do those percentages or does that margin fluctuate when you go into high-end restaurants versus, you know, smaller mom-and-pop diner-type places?
There is certainly variation. However, the margins stay fairly consistent regardless the type of restaurant. When you look at, for example, Darden restaurants, big corporate restaurant chain, they operate, you know, Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, Cheddar's, Bahama Breeze, a number of different concepts. They generate, before their overhead expenses, they generate about a 13.4% margin. So it's really not that much different. You have to look at a couple of things. One of the things that varies is how food is prepared. In some restaurants, you have from-scratch preparation. You're literally starting with tomatoes and onions and peppers, and you're making the marinara sauce, for example. In other restaurants, you're buying a canned sauce. And really, it's a trade. It's not savings. So if I make everything from scratch, I'm going to have a lower food cost because I'm buying raw ingredients.
Less value added.
Less expensive to purchase. But then I have to incur more labor to process those items in-house. I have to make the marinara sauce. So it's less expensive. So, for example, you look at a McDonald's. McDonald's runs one of the highest food costs in the industry as far as the cost of the food as a percentage of sales. But they're starting with a highly processed food product. And basically, their workers in the restaurant are just assembling the food. They're not preparing the food, if you can see the difference.
So now we're in a situation where restaurants have been closed. We've all heard a lot about it. It's been very painful for small mom-and-pop restaurants. It's been painful for big restaurants, high-end, low-end. All of them have been suffering, and the people that work there as well. Now they're going to be able to open at 25% capacity in their dining rooms, plus the ability here locally to set up shop out in the parking lots outside, as long as you have enough social distancing. I even saw one restaurant on US 41 that had a big tent put out in their front parking lot with some tables and chairs underneath it. So people are preparing for that. However, do you feel like as a restaurant, if you owned a restaurant, would you participate in that or remain closed? I mean, is it worth it to open the doors for only 25%?
Absolutely, I would open my doors. And let me tell you, there's four things that a restaurant can do to survive this situation. The first thing we have to realize is that reducing your seating capacity 25% doesn't need to reduce your revenues by 75%. In other words, you need to mitigate the impact of the reduction in seating on revenues. A restaurant never operates at full capacity. Think about it. When you have a dining room, most of the day, that dining room is only partially filled. Even your peak 1 or 2 hours of prime dinner time, you're not at full capacity because when I seat two guests at a table that seats four, I'm only at 50% capacity on that table. So even though every table may be occupied, not every seat is occupied. So first, you need to realize and understand that reducing seating capacity by 75% doesn't necessarily reduce revenues by 75%. Number two, I can do other things like the carry out in order to try to supplement the revenue I'm able to accommodate in-house. So if I'm serving less people inside the restaurant, it simply means I need to get more food out my door and do more to-go orders. Right? So I try to mitigate the impact of the reduction in seating on my revenue. Number two, the next thing I need to do to survive is I need to look at how can I modify my labor structure. I already mentioned that labor is about 28% for the typical restaurant of my costs. Again, if I'm doing a lot of the preparation in-house, I have to continue to prepare my setup and my mise en place and do a lot of my work in-house, and therefore I need labor to do that. So the question is, how can I reduce my labor costs? quite frankly, service labor doesn't cost the restaurateur a lot of money because servers work in large part for gratuities that they receive. So it's really your kitchen labor and your management overhead. So some restaurants are owned and operated by hands-on owners, meaning I'm a chef owner and I actually can go into the kitchen myself and prepare food, or I'm the manager of the business. Other restaurants employ others to prepare the food and to manage the restaurant. So a restaurant in which I am actively engaged as part of the hands-on labor, I'm going to be able to better survive the situation than someone who's more of a hands-off owner and relying upon others. The other situation is can I modify my food preparation? You see a lot of restaurants reducing their menu in times like this. So they're not preparing as wide a variety of menu selections. They don't have as wide a variety of items available so that they can prepare the items that run the best margins. Some items on my menu run a higher profit margin than others. So I'm going to prepare the high profit items and the ones that I can reduce my food preparation time and cost.
Also perishable.
And then the fourth thing I need to do to survive is it depends upon my capital structure and my real estate structure. So do I have a landlord that will work with me? If I own my building, you know, a restaurant that's been around for years and has already paid the mortgage off obviously is in a much stronger position than a restaurant that's paying rent or has a large mortgage payment obligation. In addition to that, your equipment. Some restaurateurs, if I'm a new restaurant and I just purchased or acquired all my kitchen equipment and I have capital lease payments I have to make every month, so I have high fixed costs on the real estate and capital side for my operating equipment, of course I'm in a weaker position than someone who's been in business for many years and has already paid off their equipment.
You had mentioned that you worked in the hotel part of the world. For some reason, we kind of link together hotels and restaurants all kind of in the same basket, but that's kind of a different animal, is it not?
Well, the hotel industry, a couple of factors impacting the hotel industry that makes it a little bit different. Number one, the profitability on guest rooms, on renting guest rooms, is much, much higher. A hotel's contribution margin on guest room revenue is anywhere between 75 and 80% of revenue. When you think about it, when you rent a hotel room, really your only variable expense is the cost of housekeeping services for a housekeeper to spend 30 minutes of time to go in and clean that room. You certainly have, you know, soap and shampoo and some, you have to launder the linens, et cetera, but those costs are much smaller. In other words, it's not like in the restaurant side of things where you've got 30 cents on the dollar going right out the door on food costs and another 28% in labor costs. You just don't have the same cost structure. However, in a hotel, you have much higher capital expense. You've got to have a hotel, the building itself, and you've got, you know, large overhead just to keep the doors open, to pay the mortgage and the debt service on the multi-million-dollar investment you've made in a large, you know, building.
Well, and so just air conditioning that in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, the other thing is in Florida, the other big plus that the hotel industry has is when demand is strong, they can take their room rates up. So, you know, hotels make, especially in this area, make the bulk of their revenue in the first 4 months of the year. Their prices are triple what their prices are later in the year, you know, during the off season here. So they've already enjoyed the benefit, if you will, of, you know, 2.5 months of strong business through the middle of March. It's certainly a shame that they had to shut down. You know, March is the strongest month of the year in this area, mm-hmm. with well over 90% occupancy rate. So you know, the timing certainly was not good for the hotel business, but at least they were able to put in the bank, you know, January and February. And hotels are accustomed to, you know, cutting back operations severely as they get into April and May and preparing for the slower summer months.
So our area may be kind of like
restaurants.
Our area might be like uniquely situated for being able to withstand this feast and famine kind of a situation.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. The Southwest Florida Gulf Coast has one huge benefit, and that is the fact that we are accustomed to reducing our overhead in the off-season. So our restaurant operators in this community, they are already know how to, you know, button down the hatches and how to tighten things up to get through the slower off-season period. Again, it's a shame that, you know, they had to shut down in the middle of March, which is still the prime season. But most operators, most savvy operators who have been in this market for years, you know, they're accustomed to really building up their nest egg, if you will, building up their bank account, you know, holding on to their cash that they generate in those first three and a half, four months of the year, so that they're prepared to weather the downturn that they experience in May, June, July, and August. So, you know, certainly our restaurateurs are better prepared than many to deal with the current, you know, downturn and situation.
Have you heard anything about employees that are disincentivized to go back to work, for example, at hotels where they're collecting unemployment right now and they're okay, they don't want to go and put themselves at risk and take their job back? Have you heard any rumblings about that at all?
Well, you know, I've heard just the opposite. The bottom line is the people that thrive in the hospitality industry are people who genuinely enjoy the industry. They genuinely enjoy the people. I have 50 students currently enrolled in an internship 2 class. So this is an advanced internship in the hospitality industry. So I have 50 students from Florida Gulf Coast University that were out working in hotels and restaurants and conference centers, et cetera, working in the industry. And all of a sudden, many of them got furloughed or laid off or, you know, hours severely reduced, many working at clubs as well. And without exception, all of them cannot wait to get to work. They can't wait to get back out there. They just miss the industry. They miss the social contact. They miss the interaction. You know, we always used to say one benefit to going into our industry is our jobs can't be outsourced, right? You can't outsource food preparation. You can't outsource service or customer interaction. And, you know, the people that are drawn to our industry are people who just love the business of service. They love delighting customers, and they can't wait to get out there and delight customers again. I have a son, as I mentioned to you, when we first connected, I have a son that works in the culinary field. He's a banquet chef at a large resort in Southern California, and he just can't wait to get back to the resort, back in the kitchen, back interacting and delighting customers, you know, practicing his craft. And, you know, food preparation is part science, but and certainly a lot of business, but it's also art. You know, people who really enjoy the food industry, enjoy the restaurant industry, they're like artists. It's like a singer has to sing.
Or a journalist has to report.
Has to serve.
Or a journalist, you know, has to report. I mean, there are people that
right,
go into different
exactly.
industries. You don't do it to get rich. It's because you love what you do.
Right. I mean, like, I love being in the classroom, and I miss being in the class. Fortunately, I've been able to do virtual online classes and we really haven't missed the beat, but that's for another show. We really haven't missed the beat at the university because we still get to interact with our students and teach and do online classes and all sorts of things that we can do. But, you know, people in the hospitality industry have basically been told, you can't do this. I talked to two of our graduates who graduated last year, went to work for Marriott, are currently in their Voyage Leadership Development program. So they're about almost a year into it because they graduated last May. And one's working in Chicago, one's working in New Orleans, and they've both been furloughed from Marriott because of the COVID-19 situation. And they still are optimistic about the industry. They can't wait to get back to work. They understand that Marriott had to do what Marriott had to do for the company's survival, but they know that they're going to be back with the company as soon as this industry turns around, because people love to celebrate life. People love to interact socially. People want to have social gatherings, et cetera. So I think there's going to be a lot of pent-up demand. You know, I know, me personally, I can't wait to get back to an amusement park and get back on the road and to travel and to, you know, interact with family, loved ones, and even conferences and business meetings. Those things need to occur, and they will occur again. And our industry will figure out how to do it safely and to protect our customers' safety.
You know, that leads me to my last question I wanted to ask you before I cut you loose. Do you foresee any changes coming to the hotel or restaurant industry as a result of what we're going through now?
Well, food safety and sanitation has always been, you know, an important issue to our industry. The Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association is already talking to medical experts and put together a panel of industry leaders to start talking about how do we need to modify operations in order to continue to operate safely in the current environment with all the unknowns, with all the current unknowns. And certainly there will be some changes. However, you know, we work hard to, you know, using gloves and covering our hair and all these types of things. There may be some additional modifications that result from this, but we certainly will embrace any changes we need to make because, you know, even Disney, the four keys, what's the first of the four keys, if you know Disney's four keys for their employees? The first one is safety. No one has a good time if their health is at risk or if they're injured or not well. So the first concern of every hospitality service provider is to provide a safe environment for customers, and we'll continue to do so.
Well, that's all I can think of to ask. Is there something that I should have asked that I didn't get to?
Most importantly, I want to get the word out that if you love a specific restaurant, go out and support it. You know, the industry is only going to rebound as quickly as people are willing to get out of their home. So if you feel you can get out of your home safely, if you feel you're not at risk, of course, you know, go out and order dinner from your favorite restaurant. Take it to go, so that you can leave the seating capacity for someone who really needs that seating capacity. But go out and support your favorite restaurant, and let's help this industry start to rebound.
That was Dr. Michael Collins, Associate Professor in Florida Gulf Coast University's School of Resort and Hospitality Management. I spoke with him on Monday. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary, and yours truly, our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.